time is 5:15. Today's date is 10th. Where is it? The 10th, April 10th, 2013. And I call this Board of Trustees, special meeting of Board of Trustees to order.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina? Mrs. Mendoza? Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
And Ms. Searles called in. She would not be able to make it, but that will take us to the first item.
Item.
Ms. Mendoza and Mr. Medina on their way.
Okay, and item 2A is discussion and possible action to award RFQ 1308, Construction Manager at Risk Services, Mr. Gallen.
And at this point, I'll let everybody look at the information that was provided to us.
Yeah, place two packages before you. We'll just go into the spreadsheet.
We're just going to look at it, and then right now, when we're done, then we can.
Just want to make sure you have both of them. The spreadsheet?
Yes, sir.
That's the spreadsheet with all the pricing per project.
Okay.
Across the board. So.
Where's the spreadsheet? Should look like everybody's?
Yes, sir. Okay. We broke it down by four projects.
Cheaters. She's like, you're going to test forever my shoulder.
No, I'm not.
I respect it. Very aggressive. Can you scoot over to the left? Yeah.
How?
I did.
Did we have one including all projects?
We separated them. On the back of this package, they did do some alternates. A couple of people did bid alternates. If you look back there.
Right? Remember we said we would separate them, and then I'll just wait till the rest of the list comes.
I
organizational chart.
Was it that?
Yes. She just asked me what the number one transfer was.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
I have a question. Do we have anywhere what we had budgeted for these, for the CMR and architect fees?
Yes, we do. I have the packages in the car that show the numbers that when we asked for that extra $200, the exact amount for each one.
Can
you want me to bring that?
Yes, because I'd like to see, if how we are from these pricing to the budget. No, we understand.
It was very hard to get the status.
Yeah, it's just that our meeting schedule and our functions are
right.
Going to be
brilliant.
And we need to type this one and next one.
Thank you.
one under the construction under section 200, it has one line item that says CMR. It has a 3% number.
Yeah.
And that's the number that we budgeted when we asked for the original.
Okay, so that would be.
So if you look at outlet at the middle school, for example, that fee is like 107.
Okay, the first one I have shown here is Benefield Middle. So Benefield Middle would be on the second page?
The first one is Kennedy High School. Do you have Kennedy High School?
No. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know the copies are really bad, and I apologize for that. So right here you can see CMR.
The first page?
The very first page, and it's like 62. Yeah,
949.
Yeah, it's really bad. I know. Go to this.
Tony's going to bring me one of those.
Here.
Giant
right here.
Magnifier?
Exactly one right here on the second page.
Yeah.
And section 2 construction CMR
62949.
So there's a line that says CMR on the top line.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
We're waiting for.
Oh, all right.
Set up an appointment. If you call her tomorrow in the morning, then that's the appointment. It'll probably be the next week. That depends. I need to take a look at the card, how long he's been in there. This is his first.
Okay.
Really, where was it?
Six, and then I left.
Oh, that's right, I did too.
Oh my God.
I was in the epic and I had all the time in the world. I was just thinking.
You're not the only one. Okay.
I felt horrible. Yeah, very foolish.
Do you want to sign this stuff? You're kidding.
I'll let you go.
Okay.
Just one more.
You got it. And, oh God. He must have 35 years.
We told them we're going to evaluate them both individually and a proposal before they award to one up to four. And so because of that, you can see that Ron has put together the combo packages. We have two vendors who proposed.
Was that included in the proposal?
Yeah, in the proposal, they...
Did we request to give us a few proposal when it came to doing all the products?
They were advised that one contractor may be awarded all.
They were advised they could either go.
But what we wanted to look at was, and what we said was, make sure that they were separate and that they were in the proposal. It would also allow for them to do the whole thing to see if there was any cost savings.
Yes, and there are some cost savings.
Was that included in the proposal?
A specific proposal form.
In other words, I'm going to give you County Hill High School, the gymnasium, the hardware, and then I'm going to give you a fee for all of it. Because when you separate it, yeah, the increase is going to be more on the smaller projects, but if you were to include it all as one, there could have been possible cost savings. And so when we met, we asked that we make sure that that one of the items were going to provide the number for all of it together.
Right, so we had two contractors who proposed a combo, package 1 through 3, and we had two contractors who proposed, some contractors didn't even want to bid on package 4. So we have two who gave a
savings
price.
We asked for
price.
Combo of number 5 to be all of it. Was that provided?
That was not the way the proposal was written.
Combo, not combo 5, it's number 4.
Well, whatever combo, I just got a number.
It is, but he said only two of them bid on the total, on all of them.
Yeah.
On the back of this form right here, the last three pages are the alternates where they bid and we did the conversion from those. And there is a little bit of savings on the couple.
Right. So you can see Byers and Dantex, their price comparison, and in highlight, if you awarded all of them to either of those, you can see Ron highlighted the most economical one. And then on the second page, you can see people who bid for packages 1 through 3. Those other two contractors who were not interested in package 4. And you can see who was the most economical of those.
And then the next page shows all the projects with package 4 combined.
So, what we've been doing is we had, of course, several evaluation committees meet. Am I allowed to say who the evaluation committee recommended?
Yes, I was the number.
Okay. So of the four, and of course we had Canvas participation, and a lot of people have different experience with different contractors, and we tried to find the best fit for each one. So for example, Baines, who's done work at the high school before, who knows the site really well, you know, big contractor, knows everything about it, knows the architect and everything. Bain was recommended for the high school. In the case of the two other ones that are larger, that are building additions, packages 2 and 3, Dantex. But the overall feeling of the evaluation committees was you had two big local contractors, you know, like this Dantex, you know, there's kind of a toss-up between Dantex and Baines. And so you have these three projects, and both of those contractors provided a package for, you know, for one through, would be willing to do 1 through 3, right? In the case of package 4, which for example, Baines did not even provide a price, you know, was not really interested, did not seem interested in, we think the evaluation committee recommended Byers. We think Byers is a perfect fit for that because it has all of the elementary schools. There's a strong customer service component. You're going to be working with a lot of school principals. You're going to be in a lot of the play areas. And, of course, taking into cost into account as well. So we know that the, you know, board was favorable of all of those three contractors. And so it was the evaluation committee recommended Dantex, and
by the third page, phase 3, or phase 2?
The third page. The third page, where Dantex is highlighted?
No, he's looking at a different one.
Oh.
This one.
Mm-hmm. Not the letter one, but the summation of each package number.
Of this one.
That's just all what I can notice.
That was package 3 out that have been lost. Okay, and in these packages, the winner is not highlighted. These are just the tabulations.
Oh, okay.
So, did you want to speak a little bit about the one that is highlighted, Steve?
I'm sure. Board President, our biggest members of the board, and Ms. Brigham, I met with Jennifer and Ron earlier before the meeting. One of the responders to the request, unfortunately, for reasons we don't know, did not submit a qualifying response. Their calculation regarding the contingency for construction phase and owner's contingency was submitted at the incorrect number. The project documents and the bid required a 2% fee for those items, and they submitted a 7.5% item. So they weren't considered, and they weren't evaluated, or non-qualifying bid. And so you'll see that they're highlighted. That's just to call attention to the fact that while you might look at those numbers,
so ESA is not in the one you talked about.
Okay. So we evaluated the other four.
Okay. We looked at it first to make sure that there wasn't, that, you know, that everybody else looks like they understood how the bid was
presented.
If this had been bouncing around everywhere, we would
like, oh, we miscommunicated, you know.
But we either did something wrong.
4 out of 5 understood exactly what we were doing.
We really hated to see that because this is a really good competition between all of them.
Yeah, it win-win.
The other question I have is what is, let's say, at 90% drawing complete? Or working on the construction documents already?
What do you mean? Are we working on the construction documents already?
Like, in other words, if the architects are pretty much towards the end of the process, and so the CMR model works at the beginning, right? We're already pretty much at the end of some of these when it comes to the design phase or development, whatever we're at, we're towards the tail end. Which ones are we towards the tail end in?
I can tell you package 4 is about ready to... Package 4 is very near.
Which is?
All the elementary schools that Philo Wilkie is doing, Canutio Middle School, that package comes in.
So they're pretty much ready to...
And there's not really a lot to... There's not really a lot of fat to cut. It's pretty straightforward. And of course, we have been using VMAC kind of as our CMR, you know.
And that's what I'm trying to get at, too. If we're already on those
Should we just go out for a bit and see what the...
I was all in favor of that maybe a few months ago, but actually this brings back to something that you had mentioned to me, Mr. Rodriguez, a while back when I started, as far as CNR being a way to be able to kind of expedite things. You know, really the fact that we're in April and it's right around the corner. This is our closest shot at getting things in line for this summer, really.
Sure. If we're going to do a hard bid, we have to get all the documents done, 100%, 100% on all the construction, and go out and specifically the way that documented, that's the way the bid's going to come in.
So,
Oscar?
There'll be multiple bids.
Yeah. So for the big contract, you're looking at Baines and Dantex, and for the small one, you're looking at Byers.
Right. And there may be some cost savings of what 1 through 3 you wanted to go with, your Baines or Dantex. But definitely we would say 1 through 3 and then 4 separate, because they're two really different types of personalities.
What's the total amount for 1 through 3 and the total amount for the rest on the small project?
Should be on your alternate set.
10. Thanks.
So if there's two, that's 15% versus 15.13% if you were award packages 1 through 3 to a single contractor. With Baines being lower, can I say that by then? Being lower by, it's a difference of 10 grand. So the opinion was, I mean, it's really a toss-up. There's a question of workload, and maybe Oscar's more familiar with the workload of each of them. With whoever getting the least amount of workload, probably being able to pay us a little bit more attention.
Okay. And the other thing that we did discuss on the small projects, that if we're able to bid them, there's that option, right? If we're not busy on some, let's say 1-2 years from now, there's an option to, okay, we have the manpower in, or we have the ability to go out for those. In other words, we ask for the overall proposal. If there's that option for the district to say, you know what, we have some free time when it comes to August or September when the projects are down, we could go out and bid some of this. Is that correct? We put that option out. That's a discussion.
Are you asking whether or not if you make an award to CMR, you can tell them that some of the projects, or are you asking them not to be awarded?
No, the discussion that we had was that the district had that option on the small projects. If it's a sidewalk, and let's say right now we're going to be busy this summer, so whatever we're doing in the summer, they could handle the CMR model. But we had that option of, let's say, sidewalks or something where, you know what, we could just hard bid this because it's in December, we're not busy, and we have our bond manager, and you all should go out for that bid. And so it was an option on the small projects.
Would something like that be covered within this award?
No, the CMR that gets the small projects, there are other even smaller projects that aren't listed here, obviously, you know, pumps at lift stations and stuff like that. So, I mean, there would be the opportunity for, if you wanted to add those to the CMR, you could add those. Or if you wanted to hard bid those, you could hard bid those.
But it was but the ones way that, around as well, right?
That I don't agree with.
No, but the ones that are specifically listed, the ones that are specific, which are only the ones that are under an architect.
But the RP, what is it?
Then the RP. If we did it that way, I don't think on the small projects, then it'd be hard for them to give us the prices, and they could say, well, you're going to only give me one of these small projects district-wide, and then you're going to take away the rest of me. I can't give you a price.
I would disagree because that's what we did in the past when it came to Mr. Venegas handling small projects. There was some projects, he gave us a fee for that, and that's the discussion we had. He gave us a fee for, okay, you know what, you need to handle this because our workload is not capable right now, so you need to handle it. And there was some stuff that the previous individual would say, okay, you know what, we could do this in-house, and we could go out for a hard bid, or we could...
But there was never a fee set for that.
Yes, there was. It's
specific, was there?
Do you recall that, Mr. Venegas?
It was called miscellaneous projects.
Yeah, and that's...
So it wasn't really defined. There was a fixed fee for it.
If we can secure a contractual commitment, fine. What I'm saying is if you have listed items within the package and it's been bid and proposed and you approve it, it's going to require a commitment from that CMR to say, fine, we'll schedule these items. And if they'll agree to the schedule and the language that goes with it, that in the event the district chooses to, we'll remove them from our fee and you guys can hard bid them, that's okay. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's set up right now. I can't say that they're going to agree to that.
But that's what we were discussing when it came to pass the soil plans, that we had the miscellaneous items. And so if those needed, if the district had that option to say, okay, you know what, we're too busy right now, give it to the CMR on the miscellaneous project.
Right.
But if not, it's like, okay, you know what, we could do this in-house, we're not busy.
Right, exactly. So we have in that list of, in the bond project report of those 150 line items, we have a list of, you know, there's still projects on there, small miscellaneous projects, that if we want to add them to the CMR, we can add them. And if we want to hard bid them, we can hard bid them.
What he's asking for is that within
the contract, once we go into contract negotiations,
we decide to pull something out, right?
Now, of course, keep in mind that that's going to affect the percentage.
Oh, that's what the discussion has to be, whether it's at 30% or whatever it's going to be. You all could discuss that, but if we go with the small, an individual land or small contracts, and we say, okay, whatever it may be, you enter into those contract negotiations.
Yeah, if they say no, we can bring it back to you and say, okay, we don't want to do it, and you can revisit the
issue. Right. I also know.
That's fine. Okay. I just don't want the board to be left with the impression that it's something that is 100% within our control.
Yeah, well, what we need to do is put that language in there, because let's say there's other stuff that we want to add to it. We can. But there might be stuff that we want to take away, but whatever.
The taking away is the hard part.
Yeah, but that's why when we enter into contract negotiations, you all are able to do that.
Sure, we can ask for it. I just can't tell you that they'll agree.
Yeah, we can do that.
And does anybody else have any questions?
No, I do, but go ahead.
I just had a question. Did you finish on the evaluation? The evaluation committee, who it consisted of, and who was the recommendation? I know that.
Yeah, sure. In our fourth evaluation committee, which was the miscellaneous package, we had an architect, and we had.
Which architect?
In the miscellaneous project, we chose the architect of the largest project, which is Renee Jimenez from Kennedy Middle School, and Monica Reyes, Edward Puerta, and myself. In the case of Northwest Early College Campus, it was Yvette Sabina, Aida Salcedo, because there was a kitchen in that project, Edward Puerta, and myself. In Alvarita Middle School, and Jerry Gutierrez, that's right. Okay. And Alvarita Middle School, Jerry Gutierrez, Marnie Rocha, Edgar Boykin and myself. And then in the high school, it's the only one we didn't have campus participation, so it was just Edgar and myself. But the architect was out of town, and we were in a very short town, and the high school was kind of busy. So.
Do you have the participation forms, evaluation?
Ranking?
That's what this is. Mm-hmm.
So in each one, you can see how the rankings were. You can see Ron highlights.
No, but this is
you wanted each individual? Yes. I can get those for you.
Okay. Was that it, Mr.?
The recommendation from each committee, just their number one, that's all I wanted to hear.
For the high school, the number one was Baines, because they had a lot of experience. For the other two, both of Jerry's projects, it was Dantex. It was slightly more competitive on those.
Which projects are those?
Alvin at the middle school.
And 2 and 3?
And Northwest Early College Campus.
And 4?
And for the fourth package, Byers.
Byers,
yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And across all the evaluation committees, those were the three.
Okay, percolating on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Cornell?
Kelvin?
Thank you.
What is, based on the proposals, the fee proposals,
what is our total budget for all of those in terms of for the CMR? And what is the lowest bid for all of those? And are we within budget, above budget?
Because packages.
That's going to make a big difference. If we're...
Well, how should I put this? On the ones that provided a number for 1 through 4, you could see, like in the case of Dantex, on Ron's work, he highlights the one with the letter on the front.
Yeah.
You could see that number right there.
All right, which page are you?
It's the first, second, the third from the last page of the package that has the letter. Uh-huh. That percentage and that dollar amount for those two companies would be like the total CMR fee for all of the packages that we're discussing here. So the number would be like in that ballpark.
The difference.
Okay, I don't know.
Difference between these two. The difference. What page are you on?
I'm on the wrong page.
Package one.
Last one.
Oh.
Package is 1 through 4.
Yeah, the one that says packages 1 through 4.
Oh. Is that it?
Yeah, and then there's one that's highlighted 14.33.
Yes.
That would be like, so the dollar number next to that would be like the dollar amount for the CMR fee for all 4 packages combined.
Oh.
So it's approximately that.
Yeah, so that's kind of like ballpark.
So it's in budget with that.
I'd have to go back and compare it to my original number. We just finished tabulating like.
I know.
Like.
But that's okay.
We don't want to tell you all that 2 minutes ago.
We could take some time. We could take up an agenda item because that's. I want a figure of what the budget is for each package for just the CMR.
Right.
Can you guys get that for us?
Well.
And then the total, of course.
We budgeted 3% for, when you look at this fee proposal and it says item 1, pre-construction services, okay? So across the board in those project budgets, based off of which we asked Missy Gary for additional money, we budgeted approximately $5,000 for the pre-construction services. And if you go across the top, you can see, yeah, that's about right. You know, everyone was like within that range. If you go to the construction phase service fee, we plugged in 3%, okay? Mm-hmm. So we plugged in a number that was low, okay? Luckily, we also plugged in a 3% escalation fee, which isn't included here. So if you were to combine those, we would have a total of 6% to play with. So if you'll notice within that range of the 4 that contributed, it covers it, right?
Yeah.
And so,
Jennifer.
Yes.
But what is the total value? You know, you mentioned 62 for the high school,
yeah.
The CMR,
mm-hmm.
And according to this, it's not 62,000.
Right, so if you look at item 2A, that 62, that 62 would be the amount in 2A, so you can see like in the first one, 62, it would be 3%, 62, and here's like, for example, 4.5, and then it would be the 3% compared to the 4.5. In other words, that one was 1.5% over.
But what I would like,
yeah,
is a hard,
yeah, exactly,
amount.
I can go back and do that
for
analysis.
Each of the packages.
Right.
What we budgeted.
Yes.
What we have in our budget for that package for the CMR.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
And that's something if we were to.
Each one of the packages in then total. That way we can, right?
And then we're over budget. How much are we over budget?
Yeah.
Right.
Where are we going to get the money?
In other words, if we go with the lowest bidder in
yeah.
terms of the fees,
right.
Are we within budget or not?
Right. Yeah, I can go back and do that.
Okay.
What I want to do is just provide some direction. We're looking at 2 individuals. If we're going to want to go with the construction manager at risk, model on all of them. Mm-hmm. We need to look at, okay, there's two individuals for the top one, there's one for the small. Do we want to give direction on the two individuals for the top one? And then that way we could compare, have a better comparison. And the two individuals for the, and that's not the top one, it's a big project. Mm-hmm. Huh? You just want to get that
I'd like to see what our budget is, and then, because that's when they're determined.
Do we need a table, or do I just...
I won't be able to do that in 30 minutes. I mean,
give us an hour.
Do you have the amounts you budgeted for each?
Yes, I do.
The percentage of the budget for the budget amount for the package?
Yes, I do. Then yeah.
What's difficult about it?
Well, I can handwrite it.
Item B is discussion and possible action to approve resolution regarding House Bill 2004 and House Bill 179. Mr. Blanco.
Real quick, if I might touch up. Yesterday, I supported House Bill 2004 personally, but we have a resolution with us, and I believe it's somewhere.
Yes.
And so, if you all want to look at that one real quick, my understanding is that they looked at Representative Gonzalez went from 3 to 2 years.
To two?
Yeah.
That's not different than what it is now.
And so that's what.
Where has she been?
And you know, my understanding is Malta is the one that wants.
Excuse me.
Malta.
Once in 2 years?
So what we need to do is.
What is Malta? Malta? Malta?
It's my question then. While they're saying that we're going to allow, I don't know, I don't want to speak. In other words, we would allow the system to give them more time to actually catch up. Doesn't make sense. But
no, it doesn't make sense.
And that's what we need to put on the resolution. So if we need to address it, like, you know, that it needs 3 years.
I think it needs 3 years.
And that's, I do too. So what we need to do is make sure that the bill includes 3 years.
Yeah.
And so that's on House Bill.
Sorry,
I've got so many bills in my head right now.
2004?
Who testified, Mr. Rodriguez?
I just supported. I was trying to get out. They started at 2, and I was still in meetings with some of our representatives. So I was in support, and I was going to testify. There was several other individuals that testified.
Did Representative Gonzalez give any explanation as to why she came down from the 3 years to 2 years?
My understanding is that to alleviate the pressure probably from other individuals. I mean, what you...
That makes... Okay.
That to me doesn't make sense.
So that's why we need to have the resolution say, you know what, we need to make sure that it's 3 years and that we look at best practices. And so if we need to add any language, then we need to do so.
You know, all experts say 4 years.
Why is that what the...
Yes.
Okay.
Every expert to testify at the equity funding issue in the lawsuit in Austin, no less than 4 years.
Can we add that language then? And that would...
Yeah, that makes
maybe
sense.
Maybe we would not support the bill if it's no less
than 3 years.
Than 3 years.
Right. If I may, educators will tell you, and this is... Mm-hmm. Policy make is not educated. And I have to agree totally with Mr. Coronado, because three, that is going to be, I mean, that is an exceptional child that could do three, because you have to understand this is
academic language we're talking about. We're not talking playground, we're talking academic language. And if they have been, if they have been in an education setting, which a lot of times we're getting children who's coming in who might have stopped their education at sixth grade and then come to ninth grade. So we have to remediate that 3 years in content first, then address. So I absolutely agree with where you were going, Ms. Mendoza, saying 4 years doesn't make any sense. But you can't back anything that's not three, because, again, it's the policymakers versus the educators. And I know maybe we might not get 4 years, but 3 years, I mean, we do a dance up front if it was three. But two, it's not going to change the outcome with the 2 years. You're going to still have your high, you know, the failures or the dropouts from the 50 years, so things like that.
You know, the superintendents, and that was even kind of when they went to Austin, mm-hmm. our local superintendent, they said 3 years. I was even upset that they called no less than 4 years, which was an expert recommending to them. Mm-hmm. You know, but I understand it, because we only have 4 years in high school. I get it. We have to kind of speed up
right.
the language issue as fast as we can.
Do we want to say with a 3-year enrollment requirement or a 4-year enrollment?
Yeah.
I believe it went to calendar. I think we need to get more involved in this bill, especially because this is pretty much the, what is it, the crux of
this is the fight. This is the issue. This is the discrimination issue. So we're going to say, oh, well, they can discriminate halfways. Go to the second row in the back of the bus instead of the last one.
So, what I would like
to me is,
I think what we need to send a strong resolution, see when it is in committee, and then see if whether I would like for you to come to testify.
I have no problem going over there and telling
you. It's something, you know, we're going to have to make sure that we're heard, because this is a problem that's happening in El Paso.
Well,
and if it doesn't correctly get addressed, then you're going to have people manipulating the system instead of looking at the optimal solution.
Well, it's the kids are getting hurt two ways now.
Yes.
By the law, mm-hmm. and then by these individuals who are trying to game the system as it stands. And so kids are getting hurt because, one, some of them give up and leave because they're required to take that test. Some of them even, they get out of school. That's, nobody talks about that they disappear because they don't want to fail the test. Okay? And now we have, in this issue where the administrators are gaming the system, is not only are they not encouraging not to get out to remediate these kids, they're trying to get more of them out.
So do we want three or four? Four, is that what I'm hearing?
What we need to put is that research is showing four, but we would not go minimal than the three.
Three.
I could add a preamble statement then to say that research shows a 4-year enrollment requirements to acquire language.
No, four. I would stick to the kinds of four.
Well, we were going with the original bill here. We have the superintendent.
Then they would only have that 1 year, they wouldn't have any time to pass it in the high school setting. That's 4 years high school.
That's why they're putting in the three.
That's the only reason why I would even.
But what the bill is saying, that it wouldn't go against your accountability. Really.
Exactly.
You still have to take that test.
Right.
But at least it's not going against any accountability.
Right.
It used to be that way, Mr. Rodriguez. It used to be because, you know, you can. Oh, I'm sorry. You can look at the growth of the students. You can look at that. You know, that's what the South measures and the Telpass and all that. We can measure that.
It's 2 years. That's what was presented to the Public Ed Committee yesterday.
How does that change anything now?
Is it where we're at now?
Yes.
Well,
depending when the child enrolls, it's either less than a year or less than 2 years.
Right. Mr. Medina, if, Mr. Medina, if a student comes in, we dread.
No, I remember. If
right
they come
now,
in.
Coming right now, because those kiddos, we have the test next year.
Yeah.
We have really only a few ones from remediation that we can give them. That's the crux of it, too, is that they have come up with the stupid, that if it's on this day, rather than go by calendar year, if they could go by calendar year, that gives us a full year. They're not even giving us a full year on a lot of it.
Then let's set up a conference call with Mary, which is the actual author of the bill. And what we need to do is address those concerns, and then if it is going to be heard at the next public ed committee, then we need to...
Do you know when that is?
I do not know.
Do you want to approve a resolution tonight, or do you want to wait?
We approve the resolution tonight. See, research shows 4, but the minimal, I mean, we're willing to go that 3, no less than 3. We believe that 2 still discriminates. It's very, it's going to allow for...
Would you be, would the board be willing to accept then the addition of the statement regarding the 4 years to acquire land use proficiency? We'll come up with language for research and expert reports at the top. And then within the body of the resolution, we would say that consideration and passage of House Bill 2004 with a minimum 3-year enrollment requirement. Do you support that? Is that acceptable?
What? Is that the language? The technical language?
Yeah, the language from the bill says that a student is not considered in testing unless the student has been enrolled for a period of 3 years after the student's initial enrollment in the school in the United States.
Yes.
So they're fixing it with enrollment still. I don't think they can get the calendar. It's going to be from there.
And that makes a big difference. But
it would. I mean, if you were to pick a 3 calendar years, you could effectively pick up...
Because you can pick up the summer, you can pick up all... Yes, I agree. And I think that that's the reason that they're not...
Yeah, it's not saying calendar, it's saying enrollment.
Yeah. And she had it initially at 3 years, right?
Yes. 3 years enrolled. So, but if you're, like Ms. Riggins saying, if you're enrolled at the end of the school year, that's still a year of enrollment.
When you put it in, it goes in the PEAMS records at 9, and so we really only have...
2 years and so many months.
Right.
Yeah. No, I didn't remember reading. It was 3 years.
What was the other issue that we needed to address? The calendar?
But Steve was just saying that how it's written is enrollment years, and that is not the same as calendar years.
So it's better?
No. In calendar years, it's better. Enrollment is, again, it's more of a political statement than
so,
it's not.
But if they go back to Mexico, let's say they come from Mexico, they go into our school system, and then go back, and that counts as 1 year, then they come back. Does that count?
It's enrollment.
It's enrollment, yes, that does count.
It's not consecutive years of enrollment either.
Yeah.
What you're asking is,
can we address that issue as something that needs to be looked at? Because if you have somebody that is not fluent in the native language as well as their content, then if they go back to Mexico, let's say if you're dealing with migrant farm workers.
Well, it's a...
Migrant, we have a little... Yeah, this is different.
There's a difference.
If they're here for 60 days in any school year, they're considered enrolled for that year.
Then let's discuss that issue. At least, I mean, let's make sure they go with the 3, but we could.
Why don't we tell them that they should, based on this law they want to pass, this bill, and maybe they should give us ADA based on 60 calendar days if they've been in the school system. That counts as a year. How's that? How's that, guys?
When we testify, we could.
If you were king.
Well, but think about it.
I don't think they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It shows the illogical.
It's illogical.
It's very illogical. And then they wonder why people are looking at that.
Will that address it for a resolution? Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
So minimum 3 year enrollment?
Yes.
No less than 3 years.
Well, what I'll say is with a minimum 3 year enrollment period. It's just what it's defined now. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to have to revise it, though. I can, if you all want to approve the resolution as drafted with the addition of a statement requiring, a statement recognizing that it has been researched and declared that it's a four-year period to acquire language proficiency at the top, and then within the body of the resolution in items 2 and 3, we'll add a requirement that it be a minimum three-year enrollment period. We'll add that language, but if you'd like to approve tonight, so that Mr. Rodriguez can sign it.
I prefer calendar, but
we can approve.
It's not a rush because even if we, I have to go back, so we could present it. I mean, we could have a meeting with.
Okay, I'll revise and then we can take it up again.
Okay.
I think that also, Mr. Chair, is we need to send a copy of this
to the board. Yeah.
But apart from this, we need to send a copy to Mr. O'Rourke and Mr. Gallego that we request that they put a similar resolution to the United States Congress to change the, so that they can be on.
The federal and the state can be aligned.
Aligned.
And so we could,
that's when's our next board meeting?
April
23rd. We could put that resolution.
We should have it all ready to go at the 23rd with the additional one.
Well, this one we need now. I mean, we could do it within, if we need it. What I'll do is, if y'all are okay with that, I'll contact Mary's office, talk to her, and say the board wants to make sure that we look at three. We're willing to go over there, testify, making sure that our students don't get affected when we address it. But the other one, when we address the federal side, we could, hopefully it's already gone on calendar, it probably won't go to the House. I hope it gets out of the calendar. You know. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah, you're right.
But at least this allows us to address the state stuff for right now.
Yeah, they're not going to.
The federal is going to be tougher, but hopefully Mary's able to get it out of committee. And we have a good friend in public ed committee, so. And we'll send it to 2004 House Bill 2000. Okay, is that okay? Can I get a motion to approve with the corrections and additional?
I so motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution addressing House Bill 2004 as it relates to English language learning. If there's no other questions or anything, then we can vote tonight.
It's the same item. It's just an additional House bill. Mr. Rodriguez and I had a conversation about this, and this resolution is not something that we've discussed with respect to the language, but after talking to Mr. Rodriguez, we came up with a draft of what you all might want to consider. House Bill 179 is a bill that was proposed by Representative Marquez. I checked today. It has not made it out of committee as of April the 1st. It's still pending in committee. The purpose of the bill is to create and add a system and a process by which school board members are subject to recall votes. As it stands right now, school board members are not subject to recall petition or recall efforts, and so this would add an additional item that would allow voters in the circumstances enumerated within the statute to petition for a recall of a school board member.
This is my story.
Mr. Chair.
And so I understand that even our representatives can't be recalled.
That's correct.
I would suggest that we contact our Ms. Marquez and ask her that we'd be glad to approve this. She puts in there that both representatives can also be recalled.
I believe that we need a.
It does say all elected officials on
there.
They're not addressing the
county. They're not addressing.
And so what we're saying is, do you want to tighten that language?
Just say let's put all elected officials in the state, everybody.
Local, county,
everybody.
State officials.
And everybody.
How do we tell her that?
Well,
depends on how you want to go about doing it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a resolution at this point in time. You can reach out and have that discussion if you want to.
I think we're not going to have discussion.
She wouldn't be happy about that.
Well, no, I understand that, but I mean,
well, I'll reach out to her and tell her.
Call me, let me know when that happens.
You know?
Yeah, we want to see the hands together.
The other thing that she's looking at is 179.
This is 179.
Actually,
you think about 343?
343.
You just came back from Austin, you got numbers to tell you what it is.
Yeah. And this bill would require each member of the school board of trustees to file a financial statement. A trustee would commit an offense if the trustee failed to file the financial statement as required. The bill would repeal section education code financial statement, but it's only limited to El Paso.
What?
My oh, come on.
Yeah, it's like...
I think there needs to be some.
Yeah, if they're going to do that, I'd say let's require every elected position who is a paid position.
How about we add some language in there, like in other words, when creating bills, you should look at the overall good for the state and the overall good of each elected position.
Are you talking about in an overall kind of blanket resolution type issue?
Yeah, when she starts creating policy that she doesn't need to be mentioned.
She doesn't exclude anyone else. Just look at us like we're the problem.
You sure you can do that? I mean, I'm not...
Because we don't have possibility.
I just don't know that that's the best way necessarily to go about addressing it. Look, the requirement under Section 343, this new bill, it relates back to Chapter 572 of the Government Code. It's pretty strenuous. And the financial reporting requirements apply to only certain office holders within the state. Because within those disclosures, you have to disclose all income, all stock you hold, all bonds, all real property you own, all all political contributions, all other benefits that you receive, all meals, all lodging. There's a reason for that, because those positions are paid positions.
Yeah, this is not a paid position.
The reason school board members and other non-paid positions have been traditionally exempt from that is because you're not paid. So it's when you're saying add other language, we can't make it so broad.
This, she's just saying for El Paso County.
The wording is only El Paso County.
Yeah.
For the recall of elected officials.
Yes. But
mm-hmm. This other one for records is for every, or is it again just El Paso?
No, this is for any independent.
I remember at the
beginning. In the state, okay.
Yes, no, this, Mr. Rodriguez, 343 applies to any elected school board official.
No, I believe the introduction that was put in yesterday at the committee, because Representative Davis said, well, it's just El Paso.
No, I don't think that's correct. Well, I'm reading the most recent version of the bill, and it says that it is each member of the Board of Trustees of an independent school district shall. It will apply to any independent school district. Unless they made some kind of change.
Can we just put some wording on that? That when she's creating policy, that is across the board. And then, yeah. And then what we'll do is we'll just keep an eye on this bill. And then we'll go from there.
So you're going to look, how about if at the next board meeting we come back with a more general resolution to address 179 and 343?
Okay, can we add something on this?
Oh, sure, yeah. I can come up with language to address what you're saying, but I'd like a chance to take a crack at drafting.
At 343?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can we get a motion to approve the resolution as...
There's not one. No. I'd rather not do that because we don't have a final resolution.
Didn't you give us?
I gave you one for the election process.
Yeah.
But not
not the one for 343.
No, we're not doing to approve a resolution for 179 that you talked about. And what we're saying is just add a little one that says, when you're addressing it, that you're...
What are you talking about 343?
No, I know, we're not going to talk about 349. We're talking about 179. All right.
So we'll approve 179 tonight,
yes,
and then come back with another resolution.
For 343.
But that's not going to be just for 343, it's in general.
Well, I want some general language on 179.
That's what I don't have, right, that I think we can talk about today. Okay. Can we hold off on that one, or just say...
You don't have, like, one sentence in there saying...
Well, no, because it's such a big deal, I'd rather it be more... We're going to have to add some preamble and some kind of barracks. It's
that pointed sentence, if you
just say no.
That's a tougher one. You're basically asking them to be...
Okay, prepared. Let's do that.
We can hold those.
I'll take your advice, counsel.
Okay.
Can we approve the resolution of one? What is this? 179.
179. The election process.
And there's nothing in the Senate yet, so we don't have to. We'll just send it to the House and then to all our legislative delegation. We need like a general list. That way, we whenever we're going to be passing, yeah.
And President Rodriguez, we did have a motion and a second on House Bill 2004, and we did not vote on that yet.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
They're both together. They're on the same agenda.
Can we vote on House Bill 2004?
You're going to do them both,
yes,
together?
Just to add 179 to the motion. Who made the motion?
Ms. Quintana. Okay.
So you're okay with that?
Yes.
All right. We have a motion and a second for both 2004-179. If there's no more discussion, then let's vote for it.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes. I'll take this to the next one.
Item 3 is executive session, and the time is now 6:29 p.m., and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Section 551074 for discussion regarding superintendent candidates and to receive an update on selection status from ProAct Search and for discussion regarding pending personnel matters related to the reassignment of certain employees.